Unexpected things. Unexpected gifts today, although Madeline promised there would be some gifts. Unexpected things in the Bible verses. And you're thinking, so I was in church today and I noticed the sermon title was Animal House. And the last thing I expected the preacher to talk about was that college fraternity movie from 1978, but that's exactly what the sermon started with. How many of y'all have seen that college fraternity movie from 1978? The title of which is the same as this morning's sermon. Do you remember the antics of the characters like Pinto? Pinto? Yeah. Flounder? Otter? Boone? D-Day? He was fun. Hoover? And of course, Bluto? Remember Bluto? Yeah, now you're thinking of that scene with the look, I'm a zit, right? Right now you're thinking of that scene. At the end of the film, if you've seen it, there's, you know, it didn't completely start the genre, but it was like, you know, what happened to them afterwards. At the end of the film, it shows that these colleges, I mean, they were from college, but these anything but serious about college people, what happened to them after college. Like Pinto became the editor of National Lampoon magazine. And Flounder became a sensitivity trainer. And Otter is a gynecologist. He was the ladies' man, so he's a gynecologist, right? And Boone is a cab driver and also a writer. D-Day, they don't know. Whereabouts unknown is kind of how it goes. Hoover became a public defender. And Bluto, do you remember what his role was? Senator Bluto Blutarski. I mean, he's got a first name, John Blutarski, but yeah, U.S. Senator. And then there was a follow-up to the movie in the super secret, the double secret probation edition in 2003, and they had a follow-up, sort of a mockumentary of where they are even now. John Landis went and found all of them again, or sort of, and Pinto wasn't in that. I guess that the guy from Amadeus, what was the actor who played Amadeus? Same guy. He didn't want to be in the follow-up, but so we don't know. Flounder is the executive director of Encounter Groups in Cleveland. Boone is a film editor and a documentarian. Otter is still a gynecologist. Hoover is the assistant district attorney in Baltimore. D-Day is kind of living off the grid in Modesto, California. They tried to find him, and he blasted out of his house and laughed as he left. And Bluto, president of the United States. That was always kind of funny there. The folks, they weren't supposed to end up as successes. You know, they were... I know in the movies that happily ever after seems to be more the rule than in real life. But 0.0 grade point average Bluto as president of the United States? Really? Someone who, like, just mocked college while in college, becoming the president of the United States? This doesn't happen. No matter what you're thinking right now, it doesn't happen. Very likely, unlikely, very unexpected. So hold that thought. It was very unlikely and very unexpected that these folks at the end of Animal House would become what they became. Let's look at the Bible. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, and this vision of God's peaceable kingdom. You got to notice something. In the reading, it isn't in the elimination of dangerous creatures that things all come together, that peace gets brought about. It's in this sort of like this non-intuitive cooperation of all of God's creatures that all thrive. And I know there's that part in there that says, you know, by the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips, there will be striking and killing. But in those words, there aren't weapons being used. It's he speaks words of righteousness. The rod of his mouth, the breath of his lips. So he ends what is not right there, but it's not with violence. It's not with tanks. Words of judgment, not weapons and violence. See, this vision of the root of Jesse, that's how it starts. Setting things in order shows wolves and lambs and cows and bears and lions and oxen and children and snakes all getting together with this little child leading them all. And it's completely upside down. It's completely off kilter from the way everything works. Because we know that wolves and lambs don't hang out together. At least not for very long. Right? war and violence. We always think that's the way to bring about peace. It seems like war and violence only bring about more war and violence, and hate brings about more hate, and destruction brings more destruction. But God's vision in Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, and really God's vision, it isn't about war and violence and hate and destruction. God's vision involves wisdom and understanding and righteousness and faithfulness and cooperation among all of God's precious creation. It's unlikely and unexpected that it would go that way. But God's vision isn't a movie like in Animal House. God's vision is of a world where these things are the way things are. It looks so off kilter and upside down to us because it's not the way the world is. But God's vision is of a world where everyone looks at that and says, of course, that's the way things are. We look at the world and say, well, that's not the way things are. We look at the opposite and say, that's the way things are. God's vision is of a world where that's just what people expect. So will there be a time where wolves and lambs and cows and bears and lions and oxen, children and snakes all get along together with a little child leading it all? I don't know if we're ever going to see it exactly like that and look at it that way. But there's no question that seeing it as something upside down and sideways is out of order from our usual expectation of what exactly God's vision is. I know that I said that a little confusing, but do you get my point there? Our view that this is wrong is upside down from God's vision of that should be what everyone expects. God doesn't have boundaries. Even though we want to put boundaries on God, well, that can't happen. Well, it's like putting boundaries on God's. God isn't limited by our way of thinking. No matter how righteous or faithful we are, no matter how wrong, no matter how right, no matter what, God is not limited by our way of thinking. God isn't limited even by our wildest imaginations. You know, the most awesome thing that we can think of, God is not limited by that, as in, like, that's as good as things could get, or that's as much as things could happen. God's vision is one where enemies aren't. God's vision is one where violence and war are no more. God's vision is one where wisdom prevailed. God's vision is one where righteousness, faithfulness, and cooperation are hand in hand. That's God's vision for the world. Sometimes we have people who speak prophetically and who have these amazing visions for how the world can be. And, you know, they publish things and they say things and peace is affected and the world is affected by the things that they say. For instance, Nelson Mandela said this. He said, if you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then he becomes your partner. That's Nelson Mandela who sat in prison. That's Nelson Mandela who had every right to just want to go to war. And he said, if you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then he becomes your partner. If a lion and a lamb want to work together, then they have to make peace with one another and not consider the other to be dangerous. During Advent, we anticipate the coming of the one who changes what is. We anticipate the coming of Jesus. But our norm is, well, as we're anticipating, our norm still is violence and war and poverty and disease and anger and racism and bigotry and selfishness and greed and self-importance and self-righteousness and rejection. Those are realities of our world. And I know that our world has more to offer than that. And I know that sitting here in the pews, we're celebrating 125 years and it's exciting and there's friendliness and there's love and there's cooperation here. But our world is filled with all of these realities that stare us in the face, even as we anticipate this celebration of Jesus' birth. But Isaiah reminds us of a better way, and more than just a 125th anniversary with balloons cooperation, but one where all of the world, God's vision says it, all of the world, it has helpfulness and peace and prosperity and health and kindness and acceptance and sharing and generosity and humility and acceptance and welcome. That's God's vision for how the world ought to be and how in God's vision the world can be. In God's way, how the world is. So who are the wolves? Who are the lambs? Who are the cows? Who are the bears, the lions, the oxen, the children, and the snakes? You could probably think of them, and we'd come up with different answers. And, you know, there's a whole lot of politics that would get into mind there. The so-and-so is a wolf, and, well, they're more like a lamb, and all this. You know, we'd go back and forth, and we have battles and everything. You could insert any group of people that you wish into those descriptions, because it's easy to make an enemy, right? What did Nelson Mandela say? If you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then they become your partner. It doesn't matter who you think are the dangerous ones or the enemies or the safe ones or the allies. In God's vision, a little child leads them all together. So this is what we must call, what we can call, what we can celebrate, and we call it Jesus and the awesome Animal House. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us a spirit of cooperation, of righteousness, of faithfulness, the ability to look on all as potential partners in peace. Look at all as people who are your precious children. Help us to live our lives in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.